Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Sunday. My name is Pete. I'm one of the pastors here. I am super glad we get to be together today. Today, we are going to continue our series on Jesus's I am statements. Seven times in John, Jesus says, I am, and then he fills in the blank. And of course, we really care because the Bible says that Jesus reveals the true nature of God. And so when Jesus says, I am, we are learning more about God. Last week, we got to hear about Jesus as the Good Shepherd. John Hodges gave us a wonderful sermon. I'm super impressed with people who can lead worship, play guitar, look amazing, not wear green, and preach. The dude can do it all. This week, I get to share from one of the most beautiful passages in the Bible. John 13 to 17 is known as the Upper Room Discourse, and that's because it takes place in an upper room, right. Jesus is in his last hours with his disciples. These are the friends that he has traveled everywhere with for years and invested his life in. And these chapters are full of real love and tenderness and beauty. Last time I taught, I shared about Jesus saying, I am the gate. He claims to be, in his personhood, the path to God. And he said this while calling other religious leaders and claimants, some of whom were actually there listening, spiritually blind or guilty or thieves and robbers. This week, we get to hear another claim of Jesus, and I believe this claim fills in some of why he felt it was so important to have people recognize his divinity. Today's I am statement is Jesus saying, I am the vine. And in today's passage, he says this twice in parallel paragraphs, which in Hebrew is like writing in all caps. Parallelism happens throughout the Bible. Everywhere you find it, it means it's an emphasis. Pay attention. It means like this here. Slide, please. Take a look at this. It is important. That's what that means, right? And so what Jesus is saying here is, number one, shared with his most beloved friends in the world. Number two, shared on the night of his betrayal leading to his death. And number three, written in ancient all caps. And so everybody, I encourage you today, open your heart and open your mind to what Jesus wants to say today. It meant a ton to him. I'll pray that we can have those open hearts and minds. God, we're so thankful that you sent us Jesus to show you who you really are. There's so many people claiming that you're bad, you're mean, you're harsh, you don't care, you've gone away. And we know it's not true because you've sent us Jesus Christ. I ask that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear Jesus today so that we can know you, so that we can be rooted and grounded in who you actually are, and so that we can live a life that's connected to you. Amen. All right, on that note, here are the first four verses of today's passage, John 15, 1 through 4. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And so again, as with all these statements, Jesus is claiming a whole lot. He's claiming things that basically require him to be divine. He's saying, stay connected to me if you want to stay connected to God. Stay connected through me so that you can know the Father. He says, my words have made you clean. And so stay in me, and I will stay in you. And he talks about staying connected to Jesus so that God can prune us so that we can be even more fruitful. I have some friends who own a vineyard, as in a place where you grow grapes that eventually turn into wine, not a church. And that's in Cannon Falls, and they love Jesus. And they work hard on their land. And I asked Christina to read this passage and send me her thoughts about pruning, and here's what she sent me. She said, every year I prune away all the growth from last year that bore the fruit. If I left it, it would bear fruit again, but it would bear less and less. And eventually it would become sick and no good. I actually let one of my very small vineyards go, and after only 2 years, the vines were big, bushy uselessness and not producing fruit. And now I have to work 10 times harder to get that vine back to the original way it was, beautiful and producing good fruit. If I had just pruned it and did what was best to begin with, it wouldn't be so hard and take such a long process now. Now I actually put it off sometimes for fear of how long it's going to take. The branches are huge and hard to cut through and mostly dead. The growth becomes hard to remove, unlike if it were alive. But the good thing is, it is redeemable and can be fixed. With time and attention, I can have them in perfect condition, being the vine master. Other people look at it, like my husband, and say, cut it all down, it looks worthless and yuck. But see, I know my vines, and I know that's not true. I know they're healthy inside. No one else can see it, all they see is the outside. And so I think there's a lot in that for us in our day-to-day lives, and I think the analogy Jesus is using here to vines has some real meaning for us, especially this talk about pruning, which is cutting things back. Sometimes the bad things that happen to us seem like they take away even the good parts of our lives. Have you ever had that feeling? These horrible things have damaged me forever. I used to be so envious of my roommate. He said his dad prayed for him every morning from 4 to 4:30 while he slept for his entire, till he left the house. And I was like, I would be a decent human being if someone had cared about me that much. And I didn't feel like I could ever be a decent human being. But sometimes in the hard things that come our way, God is actually doing a good thing that we can't see yet. My friend Christopher is one of the bassists here. He was my sponsor in Celebrate Recovery, and we've known each other about 20 years. And just this week, he and I were talking about how often it seems like the hardest parts of our lives are the place that all our growth has come from, and how when things are good, we rarely grow and we tend to coast. Can you think about places in your life where the hard times caused you to be more fruitful for the rest of your life? The Bible says this in Hebrews 12:11. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it. And I think this idea of hard things in our lives being the stuff that actually makes us fruitful in the future is borne out by tons of scripture, but also borne out by my own life. My depression and my addiction, which were so long, led me to surrender to God. And that brought me freedom and joy that I was never going to have without doing that. My mom got the diagnosis of cancer and was an incredibly anxious and worrisome woman my whole life. And she said, you know what? I am going to die. I don't need to worry anymore. And I got 6.5 years of a mom without worry and anxiety, and we developed a deep relationship that I treasure to this day that couldn't have happened if she hadn't stopped worrying. My experience of COVID and divorce were a refining fire that hurt deeply and badly at the time. But they have been like useful in me starting to bear new fruit and healthier fruit in a way that I don't think I could have done if I hadn't gone through that time. I don't believe God causes suffering, but I do believe that God does miracles through suffering. All of us can look around and see people, and sometimes ourselves, where the painful things we've gone through have just harmed us, have just caused people to be deformed or wounded or crippled. But when we are in Christ, God can turn even the most painful situations of our life into growth that would never have been possible any other way. If you're going through a hard time right now, one of the great miracles of our faith is that if you can stick with Jesus through the hard time, when you come out, you will be stronger and healthier than you would have been without it. And you'll be ready to be fruitful again. I want to pray for those who are going through hard times right now. Those of us who read the connection cards know that it's a shockingly high number of people on any given week. If you haven't taken the opportunity on the connection cards to ask us to pray for the actual pain in your life, then you're missing out. It is our pleasure and privilege to get to pray for you, and there's a lot of people around you sharing the actual, real, actually difficult, hard stuff. If that's you, I want to pray for you, whether you've shared it or not. So God, we just know members of our community right here today are suffering, are going through grief, addiction, crises, spiraling mental health, all the things that cripple people in this world. And we love your brothers and sisters, your children. And we ask that you would come with rescue. We ask that you would come with salvation. We ask that you would do a miracle, that you would turn the suffering we endure into fruitfulness that lasts forever. We ask that you would transform what's happening. We ask in the name of Jesus, amen. All right, let's take a look at how Jesus puts this a second time with a couple added wrinkles in verses 5 through 8. Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." And so Jesus says again, I'm the vine. I'm the real source of fruitfulness in this world, the source of connection to God. He says, stick with me and your life, yes, you, your life will bring good things into the world. That's what fruitfulness is. There was no fruit, and then all of a sudden, there was fruit in the world. And he says, away from me, your life's not going to have the fruit that you're looking for. Now, as a kid, I always heard this part about branches being thrown into the fire and burned as a reference to hell, because I went to a church where they said things like, and if you don't, you're going to hell. Excuse me for the loudness there. I hope the compressor caught that. As an adult, I am super confident that is absolutely not happening in this passage, right? No one listening to Jesus had ever heard of hell. The Jewish teaching on death was that after death, the soul went to Sheol, this kind of gray place that was neither heaven or hell. This does not make being thrown into the fire and burned a good thing, okay? Jesus is not saying, if you're apart from me, great things are going to happen to you and it's all going to turn out all right. He's saying, if you're not connected to me, your contribution to this world, instead of being the creation of good things, will be to disappear. The Bible says three things last: faith, hope, and love. And the source of faith, hope, and love is God through Jesus Christ. That's where those good things come from. That's where our life picks up meaning that actually lasts past us. I asked younger person in our congregation who is incredibly faithful and a great follower of Jesus about the tension between the inclusivity and exclusivity in Jesus' statements. He keeps on saying, I'm the way. You have to come to God through me. But then he also says, everybody come on in. All of you come in, right? And she said, well, do you think you could mention that maybe it's possible for people to connect to God not knowing that it's Jesus they're connecting to God through? And I do guess that's possible. I have no idea. I can't speak to the eternal state of someone's soul and whether or not Jesus has helped them connect, even if they say he hasn't. That's why I'm glad to not be the judge. I'm glad to not offer opinions about other people's eternal salvation. I think it is possible. But what I know is my life. And when I'm connected by Jesus, I find myself motivated by love and service. And when I am not connected to Jesus, I find myself more motivated by other things. And so I can say that my story is Jesus is right on. When I am connected to God, my life is way more fruitful with the things I want to bring into this world than when I am not. And then Jesus says, if you remain in me, ask for what you desire, and it will be given to you. Now, this is a verse I can kind of see, squint, and I've heard some gymnastics about how to make it true, but in some ways, I just have to be honest with you, this is a mystery to me. I have seen that when I remain in Jesus, my prayers change. Outside of Jesus, I can summarize all my prayers for you. God, make my circumstances better, either for me or someone I love, because my circumstances hurt, and I don't want anything to hurt ever, for me or for someone I love. ultimately the reason I'm praying in these circumstances is because I want something for myself, right? When I pray in Jesus, I sometimes find myself praying things that are extremely unnatural for me. Like for God to bless people who have really hurt me or traumatized me. Has anyone ever done that as a discipline? Pray for your enemies, pray for the people who hurt you. Does it feel natural? Does it feel like you're naturally wired to pray these things? When I'm in Jesus Christ, I've prayed things like, God, help me learn patience. And what does every Christian say when you say you're praying for patience? Every Christian says, don't do that, because God will give you problems. And it's problems that teach you patience. When I'm in Christ, I've prayed for self-control, something that I've considered beyond me for lots of my life. And so one way I've heard this verse explained is that the more we're in Jesus, the more what we ask for is in harmony with God's desires, and the more those desires become reality. And I can say I have seen some of that. At the same time, I've seen a whole lot of fervent prayer requests by amazing Christians who look like Jesus to me go completely unanswered. And I'm not comfortable writing them all off as failures to remain in Jesus or not being in God's will. And so I can't completely explain Jesus' words here. And I'm okay with that. We get eternity to figure it out if we can't figure it out before then. Jesus closes this way. He says, "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." God wants your life to be fruitful, your life to bear real fruit. And so I wonder what's the fruit we're going to bear. And in part, we know it's the fruit of the Spirit. And just the first free fruit of the Spirit listed in Galatians. Think about what it's like when these things show up in your life. Love, joy, and peace. How amazing is it when those three things show up in your life? The next one, patience. Out of reach for us ADH people. Could I get an amen, ADH people? Ah, it's always louder, second service. I love my people. And then there's kindness and goodness. These are traits no one would have used like to describe me in my first 30 plus years. And they're traits that still feel far beyond me sometimes. And faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. These are the fruit of the Spirit. And I don't know anybody who wouldn't give everything they have for one or the other of them. What would you give to have peace, real peace, in your life all the time? I would give my car. What would you give for joy? I would gladly give my house. I know places that'll put me up, and if I'm joyful staying there, great. Right? What would you give to have love? Everything up to my children. The fruit of God is more valuable than anything you can give your life to, money or pleasure or even family, because those things without love, without the fruit of God, don't mean much. I don't want to be rich and out of control. I don't want to be happy but mean. I don't want to have a family where we cannot genuinely love one another. I want to have a fruitful life. And Jesus knows we all do. That's the life we're all going after, even if we're bad at getting there sometimes. And I believe there's way more good fruit that God wants to bring into the world through his people. And Jesus lets us know some of that fruit in John 13-17, where he shares what he wants for his followers. And what he says is, I have a new command to give you. He says, this is my command, love one another. He says to the people who follow him, I want you to love one another. That's other followers of Jesus. I'm going to share personally on a sensitive topic now because this passage and this idea of us loving each other is hitting me harder than usual. And I'm just going to give you a trigger warning because I'm going to talk about the last three funerals I've been at or officiated. All three were for friends who were missing the kind of community where we love one another, the kind of community that Jesus calls us into. All three likely took their own lives. One was rejected by his family as a kid and spent his time moving from place to place. He lived with us for a while, trying to find his people. Another was in the foster care system, on and off, and having a hard time finding people who would treat her well, especially as her mental health deteriorated. And the third faced a sticky situation and couldn't imagine how his life could be good or people could stick with him through it, despite the fact that we would have. I really believe all three would be with us today if they had been loved the way I have been loved by God and by God's people. I remember in my teens and 20s when I was in the same kind of place that my friends were in. I started fantasizing about taking my life in elementary school, and I spent a lot of time until my 20s when God saved my life and put me in the church. And I discovered it was possible to find some kind of joy or belonging. God's love for me changed my entire narrative. God set me free from addiction after holding me overnight. I owe God my life. And then God sent me to church. The first thing I argued with God about, God, that's a terrible idea. And God said, go to church. And in the church, I found the first whole people who were kind to me. I was used to being bullied as a kid and as a teen. And then in my 20s, I found a tribe, but we were awful to each other. We were like the Seinfeld friends. We were sarcastic and cutting and critical most of the time, but we had each other. When I started going to the Flagstaff Vineyard Church and joined InterVarsity Christian Fellowship at the university, my mind was blown. I remember they invited me on a retreat, and I was miserable all the time, and I was like, oh my gosh, somebody wants to be with me. And I went, and on the way back, I felt so shocked. I hadn't heard a person swear at a person in days. Not one person talked smack to another person to their face or when they weren't around one time. Not one time. And in both places, I was welcomed and treated kindly, and I was made to feel like I mattered to God and to these people. And so I want to spend the rest of my life helping other people find that community. And I want to work with my brothers and sisters in Christ, that's you, to give people that kind of welcome, the kindness that God has for everybody that God brings. For many people right now, having a loving community is a matter of life and death. And God wants you to know that you're in a place where you are loved. Jesus wants everyone to know that you have a place where you are loved by God and by people. God wants you to know this at your lowest, in your worst mental health, that you have been, that you are right now, and that you are going to be loved by God and his people. And Jesus teaches us that the way to be that kind of community, the way that we could actually pull that off, is to stay connected to God through Jesus Christ. We do this by being the vineyard. This is how we got our name as a denomination, this passage right here. We are about being connected to God through Jesus Christ. You and me, every kind of Christian all the way around the world, united in Jesus. I want to invite you to stand as you're able and the worship team to come forward at this time. And I'm going to pray these things for you. I'm going to pray that you, as River Heights Vineyard, can be this kind of people. A people connected to Jesus, loved by God, loved by people. That's the truth. A people who invite and welcome people into the community of God, where they discover, hey, I'm loved by God and by people. A people who sustain the strongest and weakest members of our community through the trials of life, through the pruning of God, through the lonely times that threaten to overwhelm us and take our lives. I know we have people in this room who are in this situation right now, isolated, suffering, losing hope. every week we have people in this room who are going through these things. And so I want to pray for all of us right now, and especially for you, if you have not known the love of God and God's people. I want to invite you, all of you, to bring Jesus into your life and your heart today. So God, we just again thank you for Jesus. I thank you, Jesus, for coming and showing us how much you love and how much you care. And I thank you for opening your arms to every single one of us today. And I want to pray for those who have not known your love and have not known the love of your people, who have not trusted you, who have not trusted the love of your people. I pray that you would know you are loved. I pray that you would know God loves you right now. God, I pray that you would send your Holy Spirit with power right now. You are loved all the way down. You were loved and you are loved and you are going to be loved for the rest of your life. Jesus, I pray that you would help us stay connected to you in season and out, in good times, in pruning, in fruitlessness, wherever we're at. I pray that you would help us stay with you. And Jesus, we invite you to be in us. We ask that you would receive us to remain in you, and we invite you to remain in us. I also pray, God, that you would grow your mission in us, that you would help us invite our friends, that you would help us share the message to people that God loves you and that the people of God will love you, that you are worth it, that we care. We do commend our friends who are gone to you, God. I pray that you'd welcome them home. Amen. I want to invite the prayer team to come up at this time. We have people who are trained to pray blessing and good things for you. We would love to pray for you today. I needed prayer from the prayer team today. I got prayed for and it was really good. And while I was getting prayed for, I came up with something to pray for the person praying for me, and it was turns out good too. So good things can happen when we use our gifts in service to God. I'm going to share three tips with you for putting the Word of God into practice this week. Jesus' words are meant to be brought into our lives. Tip number one is read John 13 to 17. This is what Jesus said to his closest people in his final hours. And some of it was all caps. Tip number two is ask God to help you be fruitful. Ask God to help you have love, joy, and peace. Those are things God wants to do in your life. And you can ask God for them. Tip number three might sound easy or terribly difficult, depending where you're at. Spend 30 minutes with Jesus once or daily. And here's what I mean by spending time with Jesus. Literally, sit or stand or walk. Nature helps a lot of people. And just be with Jesus. Think about Jesus. Remember Jesus. That's what meditating on Jesus is. And then if you're like me, you're going to find yourself thinking, I really need to do my taxes, right? And the way you meditate is you go, yes, I do need to do my taxes, and I want to think about Jesus right now. And so distractions aren't a problem when you're meditating. That's what meditating is. It's being distracted, but choosing to come back, right? Just keep choosing to come back. The Bible says that as we stay in Jesus, we become fruitful, and God has fruitfulness for you. Spend some time with Jesus. Please come get prayer as God leads you to receive prayer. We're going to close with worship. The team will guide us through communion and let us know when the service is over. God bless you, friends.